Hi everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the All Plane Podcast, where we talk with the movers and shakers that are redefining the future of commercial aviation. As usual, before we get into today's episode, let me remind you that all previous episodes of this podcast, as well as many other aviation stories, are available on the All Plane website. That's allplane.tv, allplane.tv. And there you can also subscribe to the always interesting All Plane newsletter about innovation and sustainability in the commercial aviation industry. So sign up. And now to today's episode, which is produced in partnership with Cellpoint Digital. What is Cellpoint Digital? Well, it's a technology company that specializes in payment orchestration. That is, the processes that make it possible for airlines and travel providers to get payments seamlessly and efficiently through a broad diversity of payment methods and channels globally. And it is precisely about this topic that we are going to talk about today. Because when you buy an airline ticket digitally, it is usually a pretty straightforward process. But what happens behind the scenes? How can airlines get payments from all over the world over multiple different channels that are catering to specific demographic preferences? Well, our guest today is Diego Perez, Business Development Director for LATAM at Cellpoint Digital, who will answer all these questions. Latin America in particular is a very interesting region from the point of view of payments, a sort of advanced lab where many of the trends in the payment space are taking shape. This is because there are many different country preferences and alternative payment methods in Latin America that are coexisting next to the more, let's say, more mainstream credit card platforms. So tune in to today's episode to learn more about the nuts and bolts of airline payments and the trends that are changing the way that new generations of travelers pay for their airline tickets. And now, without further ado, let me welcome Diego to the podcast. Hi, Diego. How are you?
Hey, Miguel. All good. How about you?
Very good. Thank you for joining us today from Mexico, I think, where you're based.
Yeah, no, likewise. Thank you for inviting me. I'm based in Mexico City, so all the way around the world.
The center of a very exciting market, a big market, but you are basically heading business development for Latin America for a technology company called Cellpoint. Cellpoint is active in the travel industry. We're going to talk about airlines today, but you have also operations in other areas of the travel industry, not just airlines, but also hospitality and other parts of the travel value chain. And you specialize in an area that I found it really fascinating because as a customer, when you go somewhere and have to pay, take your card or Apple Pay or some other system, it's like magic that wherever in the world you are, payments go through. But actually, there are lots of things happening behind the scenes that not many people are aware of. And your company, Cellpoint, takes care of that, of optimizing that, streamlining that process. And that's something that I would like to dig deeper into, because I must say, I don't know that much about that field. And I think you guys have some pretty interesting solutions in that area, right?
Yeah, well, Miguel, for starting, thank you for the introduction. As you mentioned, you know, Latin America is a region with a lot of challenges right now. You know, we're not as developed as Europe or maybe the US, you know. So we as a payment company and as a financial payment company, we are very focused on technology. We are eager to help, you know, companies, especially airlines, you know, these type of companies that they have legacy solutions, you know, pretty old fashioned. They are very reliable, but according to what the world is evolving right now, they need to modernize. So our scope is to help those companies on their necessities, as you mentioned. And we are very focused on, you know, the customer experience, helping the clients and do the payments, as you mentioned. There are a lot of products right now, and there will be many more products in the near future. So our focus right now is to help those companies into boarding those new technologies without affecting the customer experience, or with all of the integrations that we already have in the region and applying the technologies and maybe that Europe has or the US has, bring it up those technologies to the Latin America region and also bring it up the current solutions that the region needs, you know, such as cash payments, such as split payments. You know, it's very important for us in order to help the companies to keep their volumes and increase the revenues, but also to help, you know, the customer, me as a cardholder, in order to do the payments as friendly as they can.
Actually, I was reading a report that you put out recently that quantifies the amount of money that airlines pay worldwide. With every transaction, there's a bit of this transaction cost. And you quantify that at $20 billion globally, which is a huge amount considering what this represents in terms of percentage of the actual profit of the industry. So it's an area where there's, I guess, lots of scope to improve. But before we get into the details of this, I would like to set the stage a little bit. And maybe we can go first at a global level and then go specifically to the case of Latin America, which I think has some specificities in the way of payment, the means of payment that people use. First of all, let's start by the company, CellPoint Digital. Tell us a bit more about the company. You are heading business development for Latin America, but CellPoint Digital is a global company. I think you are operating in quite a few countries, have customers all over the world. You operate, you work with quite a few very prominent airlines worldwide. Tell us a bit more about the company so that we understand a bit better what we're talking about here.
For sure. I mean, CellPoint Digital was born in 2007. So we were born in order to cover a solution for travel, you know, starting with Danish Rails, and we quickly expand to other airlines and other verticals, you know. And we were born in order to cover this gap in solutions that not all the payment solution companies cover, you know, in terms of this type of integrations with new solutions or world solutions that a lot of big companies uses. So as you mentioned, we are a payment orchestrator. We identify ourselves as a payment orchestrator. So what do? Is that we connect all types of payment solutions, all types of payment platforms, acquirers, aggregators, PSPs, with this covering the necessities of the clients worldwide. I mean, it's not a matter of, we know that huge companies such as airlines, which is, as you mentioned, you know, the main business that we focus in, our airlines are not based in one country, are not based in one specific region. They try to cover as much countries as they can. So that's also what we focus on doing, you know. That's why currently, as you mentioned, CellPoint has coverage in a lot of countries in the main market. You know, we have coverage all around the world. And what we are doing right now is to integrate the biggest solutions and the more amount of solutions that we can in order to cover all of those necessities.
If I may interrupt you 1 second here, yeah. What I've seen is that you define your solutions as payment orchestration. From my limited knowledge of the payments industry, what I understand is that you provide a bit of a single platform or a single point for payments that are made through many different means of payment that might be provided by different suppliers, different types of software, different technologies, and you simplify this process by putting all these together in one platform. Is that a kind of definition for dummies that I would say of what you guys
couldn't
do?
Describe it better. I mean, as a payment orchestrator, we are a single platform that can cover all of your channels. I mean, web, mobile channel, and that can cover a lot of value-added solutions, not only the payment gateway. Because, you know, when you talk about payment orchestrators, you always say you're a payment gateway in which you only provide the platform to the customer for them to receive payments, but that's not it at all. I mean, what we do is also provide a several alternative payment methods, including not only credit and debit cards or prepaid cards, we're only covering cash, digital wallets, buy now, pay later solutions, bank transfer, like in instant payments, you know, this has become very popular in countries like Brazil using Pix. But we also provide some value-added solutions, such as back office solution for reconciliation. We have our own engines, but we also connect some other important companies. I'm not going to mention name because if I mention other names, they will say that I'm not promoting them, but mm-hmm. We provide fraud prevention solutions. We provide reconciliation solutions, solutions that can bring you the best settlement timing for you. In terms of talking about operations for the companies, you know, when you talk about efficiency, it's everything for them. So we try to consolidate all of these solutions in one single platform so the customers can decide the best route for the transactions. And we also act as consultants, you know, when we try and when we board any new customer for us, we try to give them the best advices in which, according to the current operation or the current markets that they are working in, we're trying to recommend the best services for them, according not only in terms of pricing, you know, because when you're talking about businesses, of course, pricing is always a very important thing. But we always talk also about efficiency, you know, cost versus profitability. Because in some cases, and you're seeing this, you know, nowadays with the airlines, they're trying to implement new features on their legacy services, on their legacy softwares, because they have to modernize those. They have to get ahead of the technology that they are using, that the customers are using right now, that they are demanding, you know. And that's why, as you mentioned at the beginning of this interview, that's why airlines, not only airlines, but travel companies are losing this profitability nowadays, because they are losing a lot of transactions because they do not offer, the current or the modern payment solutions. They are not used to the current technologies, and the Gen Z, which is a lot of, it's getting bigger and bigger population that they are eager to travel all around the world. They are abandoning, the shopping carts because they are simply not looking at their preferred payment method, or they are not looking at ways for the companies to give them a better solution in terms of covering, maybe a big price or a big cost for a airline ticket. They do not, see the way of them covering that cost, as split payments, as an example, when you can buy a certain amount of the cost with a credit card and then another amount with a buy now pay later or maybe another card, and that's the thing that we specialize on.
Mm-hmm. I imagine the fact that you specialize in the travel industry and airlines in particular is because this problem is particularly acute in these systems because, of, as you mentioned, as an airline, you might be flying to lots of different countries where people have different ways of, different means of payment, different preferred means of payment. So as an airline, you need to be able to take those payments, but I guess that each of them has its own conditions and its own technical specificities as well. So you help bridge that sort of gap in the capacity to serve, to service those channels.
Yeah, as you mentioned, we saw when we started the business and we started like entering a lot in the airline space, we saw an opportunity in there because as a global company, we ourselves had to travel a lot, and we are in different regions, the passenger preferences differ greatly, across the region, and airlines struggle to support diverse payment methods like, and I'm going to talk about Latin America specifically, like Pix in Brazil or Bolero in Brazil, and also Oxxo in Mexico, We in Latin America, we are kind of developing more and more each year, but we are still we still have a lot of road to cover. So we need to have these specific payment methods for the region. And I'm going to talk about one specific product of SailPoint called the APM Hub, in which you can cover all of the APMs that you may need in the region with one single integration and one single contract. That for airlines or for complicated integrations as airlines, it means a lot because they, with only one integration, with only one contract, they can cover the whole region, all of the countries that we cover. And they can have access to the whole APM portfolio that we have. I'm talking about cash payments. I'm talking about bank transfer, digital wallets. Colombia is the number one country that uses digital wallets right now in the region. They have Nequi, they have DaviPlata. So if we offer this type of solution to the airlines and if they saw, the benefit of having all of these payment methods and that can give this solution to their current customers, it's a huge win for them. And we're trying to do and to talk about our pricing schedule, our pricing model of SailPoint Digital. We're trying to be very friendly with the clients because we know that they have to do an investment on this, but we also show in real numbers the profit that they can gain of this, the transaction that we can recover, because we, as a payment orchestrator, we're not only focusing on orchestrating the transactions in terms of routing them, having a smart routing solution, but we also focus in payment optimization. With this, this is not something that many other orchestrators do. The payment optimizations means that we can recover, the biggest amount of transactions, maybe with a PayPal link, for example, maybe because the issuer bank or the acquirer declines the transaction because it's a new card and they are not used to, to process this amount of transactions from a new card into a known business. So we try to recover those transactions and we recover them so it can be approved. So the conversion rate for the clients go up in the sky. So we put those numbers into a proposal so they can also see the amount of revenue, the amount of profit that they can recover. And in that matters, they will not only see maybe the cost of those services or the investment that they have to do in terms of modernizing, their services, their softwares, but also what they can gain of this integration.
Mm-hmm. Because one thing that got me wondering here is, for example, I'm used to paying for my tickets, airline tickets, and other travel-related expenses with just a regular credit card, maybe Visa, MasterCard, American Express. What are the main differences between, let's say, this type of credit card, other payment systems? From an airline point of view, What sort of costs are we talking about of getting more people using one system, another system? What were they doing before a company like SailPoint got into the scene and provided an orchestration service? Can you please describe a little bit the process that goes on behind the scenes when a customer makes a payment, pays for a ticket, for example? Who gets what? What sort of fees are being levied at every stage of the process? And what's the main pain point for an airline?
Let's first describe the process of an airline itself. You know, when you get into an airline website and you try to buy a ticket, you have to be able to offer, you know, a different schedules for a one single ticket. For example, if you have to make one stop between airports or between cities, if you need to buy for one day and maybe they need to change it for another because I don't know, maybe something happened for the client and he have to change, you know, their flying schedule. You know, you have to first offer all of these type of solutions, and with this type of companies, they need to use GDS. You know, this type of software that provide booking availability, that provided schedules, that give all of these opportunities to the clients or to the companies also. You know, that this is first of all when you're buying a ticket. Then when you do a purchase with a credit card, let's say, you know, there are several players in there. There is the company that and the payment gateway that is receiving the payment in the company website. There's the acquirer that process the whole payment or the whole transaction cycle in which they receive the payment. They go to the issuer bank. They say they review in very less time. You know, they review the whole if they have any funds, if the card is not expired or it's not blocked, if it's a stolen card, etc. So it's the whole process within the acquirer and you know the brands in each country, like I want to say in Mexico, Prosa and eGlobal, which is the are the switches that process the transactions, or MasterCard and Visa itself in other countries. So all of that process goes within the acquiring network. Then the transaction came back, you know, to the website, and it says if it's approved of or if it's denied. And if it's denied, in some cases they give you a detailed explanation of why it was denied, if it was because insufficient funds, if it was because the card was blocked or expired, if it was because the card brand is not supported by the acquirer. So all of these features, you know, came to the responsibility of the acquirer because, you know, they are the ones that are covering those services. You know, when a payment orchestration enters, you know, and I'm gonna go back a little bit because the acquirer also offers some value-added services. You know, the alternative payment methods, such as the same as us. You know, they also offer type of cards. They offer back office solutions, fraud prevention tools, etc. So they have like their own huge but limited solutions on their platforms. So when a payment orchestrations come into the play, we mainly act as a payment gateway because we connect with the company and we receive the payment.
One question. So basically, you act as a sort of the main, let's say, point of contact between the customer and the
And the
service
acquirer.
supplier. I imagine the airline in this case would still need to have agreements or relationship with each of the different providers of payment methods, or they would only interact with you and you would take care of integrating each of them on your side, and the airline or the hotel would only, let's say, connect with your system.
It can be both. I mean, they can have direct integration with for example, the alternative payment method or with the fraud prevention tools. Let's say there are a lot of the market that offer this type of services, you know, with 3DS, fraud prevention engines, tokenizations. There are a lot of players out there. But, you know, when we talk about payment orchestrations, we talk about efficiency. Why is that? Because the companies, such as the airlines, they do not have to sign contracts or sign agreements with a lot of different companies. You know, they will have all of these solutions available with one single integration with one single platform. In this case, SailPoint Digital, of course. So, what's the advantage of or where do we enter in this place? We act as I already mentioned. We act as a payment gateway. So we provide a platform. We can either integrate with the platform of the client, but they have to accomplish certain regulations according to the country and the security regulations. But if not, we can provide, you know, the platform. We can integrate with them, and they can modify the platform as they wish. I mean, they can adapt it and they can put it the way they want. I mean, the way they want to be shown to the client. So with this single integration, we can offer, you know, different type of connections to the client. And I'm not talking also only about connections with different acquirers, because of course we can offer local payment methods or local acquirers for each country. We can also offer regional acquirers, which have presence in other countries that they have presence in, and they can get into the pricing arrangement with them, and they can give them a pretty good offers in terms of volume, for example, right? But we also can offer different types of solutions that can bring a lot of stability to their operations, you know? In some cases, and you can see this in any website for a lot of airlines, you enter and they only give you the option, for example, to pay in USD, in dollars, and not in the, and if I'm buying from Mexico, maybe they are not showing Mexican pesos. So there are other like cost involving that, because, you know, if I buy anything in USD, maybe my issuing bank will do the conversion and will take the exchange rate, and it may be higher, you know, for some customers. If I enter into Google, it says that my exchange rate from USD to Mexican pesos is maybe 20 pesos. But if I purchase in USD, maybe my bank would say it's not 20, it's 21. So it'd be more expensive for me. So yeah, we have all solutions like DCC, Dynamic Currency Converter, or MCP, multi-currency pricing, that can bring this stability in terms of pricing for the customer, but also will gain some profitability to the airline, because a lot of customers, as me or as any Gen Z, which are the main buyers right now and out there, will see, okay, yeah, it's cheaper for me, and they will offer me in my local currency. So we also offer also this type of solutions. But we also cover, you know, the other necessities for the airlines or for the companies. One of them, and one of the most important, is the travel software or the travel engines that they use right now. You know, there are a lot of that out there. There is Amadeus, Sabre, Navitaire, Oracle. There are a lot of GDSs out there. So what we do, and this is something that is very important for us and highlight us from the rest of the competitors, is that we do have all of these integrations, and we do offer this type of integration to our clients, so they won't have to change their currently legacy softwares that they are using, or their currency integrations that they have. They won't have to do these major upgrades or major modifications into their systems, and you know their operation won't be compromised. You know, because if the platform that they connect with fails for a day, let's say, or for an hour, they lose millions. So that's also an important thing for us. And that's what we are focusing in, you know, bringing this type of integration as simple as they can be and as fast as they need to be. Also, and in talking about value-added services for us, we connect also with fraud prevention tools from ourselves or from outside, from other companies that I'm pretty sure that they have the best services that they can offer. So we give, you know, the option to the company, in this case to the airline, in terms of if they want to keep using their fraud prevention tool or their fraud prevention engine, they can. We are very agnostic. We are not a company that say, hey, either you buy the whole product from us or you do not buy anything. No, we say, okay, you can buy whatever you need, whatever you want. Our purpose is to be as friendly as you may need to be in terms of integration, and also as we are intending to provide, you know, the solution that you need in order to be like more efficient in that way.
When it comes to payment methods, there's a term that is, I've seen being used often in the industry, alternative payment methods. What is considered alternative? What is considered quote unquote mainstream? And how does this fit into, let's say, the industry landscape and the trends that are shaping it? Because as I said earlier, I mean, I'm used to using the Visa, MasterCard, American Express, but I guess there are many other ways that people use to pay. And I have no idea how important those are in the general picture of things. And particularly in a region like Latin America, which you said there might be other ways that people are used to pay in like even cash or other formats. So what's alternative and what's mainstream? And what's the evolution of each, let's say, big group of payment methods?
For sure. I mean, the main payment method will be, you know, credit, debit cards itself. You know, people are used to get their credit cards, debit cards, and especially talking about, you know, when you're buying an airline ticket, you put your credit card number, you put your debit card number, and you made the purchase. So when we took alternative payment methods, when you mention alternative, are all of the other payment methods that are not credit, debit cards, or prepaid cards itself. So you're talking about cash payments, In Mexico, and I'm going to take Mexico because let's be honest, Mexico is one of the countries that are very still a lot dependent on cash. You know, people have zero trust on banks, zero trust on credit debit cards because there are a lot of fraud right now. And not only in Mexico, but within the region. I mean, there are a lot of stealing information. You know, you have people are afraid that that's the word. People are afraid of using cards.
But sorry, may I ask you, how do people use cash to buy an airplane ticket? They go to some sort of physical travel agent.
Yeah.
And how you can, as a technology platform, how does SailPoint intervene in this process? Because yeah. I imagine there has to be some degree of digitalization at some point in the process, yeah?
Yeah. It's not that they use cash within the travel store or travel agency store. So there are a lot of retailers out there in Latin America. I'm going to save some examples here in Mexico. OXXO is one of the biggest retailer stores in Mexico, and they also have presence in other countries in Latin America. So what people do and what people are more comfortable doing is, they have their own cash and they don't want to use either the debit or the credit card because they are afraid of people stealing their information of their money being stolen right in the process. It's something that happens, unfortunately, in the region and also, I mean, worldwide. But unfortunately, in Latin America, it's more often. What they do is that they take their cash and they go to this type of retailers. We as SailPoint, as a digital company, we connect with those type of retailers. We integrate their platform into our software, into our services. So what they do is they receive the cash in that retailer store in OXXO, let's say. They receive the cash and they send us the notification with the transaction, a digital message for us. And we notice that they receive the payments. So we confirm the transaction within our systems and we confirm the purchase of those tickets, with a matter of seconds. It's not that you have to wait for a day, for example, because in some cases, when you offer that type of delayed services, people start to mistrust, to say, hey, they have stolen my money, my ticket is not bottle ready. And I don't know, maybe my seat will not be assigned for me or available for me in the one that I chose. So we give those options to the people, to the customers, to the cardholders, in order to use all of those other services, not only credit or debit card, but we're not talking also about you mentioned how is it evolving, and it is not only about cash, it is also about maybe digital wallets, Mercado Pago, PayPal, Google Pay, Apple Pay, which are basically tools that they offer to make a transaction more secure and, like, to be honest, more simplified, in terms of, the 95% of people, 90% of people right now have smartphones. So if you can have that credit card or that cash stored within a wallet in your phone, it would make payments easier and it would make faster for them in order to make a purchase. So we also provide that specific tools for the people that are more used to a smartphone rather than using their credit cards or rather using cash to make that purchase. So depending on the country, and we also do this specific investigation or this specific like way of knowing how things work in each country, because each country is a world, it's a different world. We are not like the like Europe or the European Union, that they have pretty much the same services, the same regulations. Each country here in Latin America, it's a different world. I'm going to give you an example. As I already mentioned, Mexico is still very dependent on cash. Colombia is the number one country using digital wallets. And Brazil is the leading country using bank transfer within a network that is called PIX, instant transfer. So we have to give these options to each one of the specific countries. And we have to give all of these options within the region to the airlines, because maybe there are some people in Brazil buying tickets for an Argentinian airline, or there are some people in Mexico, like myself, buying tickets for a Chilean airline. And we have to offer those different types of APMs so they can choose whatever it's suitable for them or whatever they prefer. That's why nowadays payments enter into a bottleneck, because whenever you enter to some airlines that are not as updated as they can be, you only see like, okay, you can pay either in loyalty points, which is very common in airlines, and we also offer that type of solution, the loyalty points, or credit or debit card. And if you can pay with a credit or debit card, they only offer the option to buy with one card at all. So maybe you don't have enough funds to buy the ticket that you may need. And I'm not only talking about, when you're traveling for pleasure, also because when you're traveling for business, maybe you don't have the enough amount of credit in your credit card in order to make that purchase. So we also offer that one different solution that's called split payments. So the people
Okay.
can, the people can also buy with that one card. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's $600 for one purchase. So you can buy $300 with one card and $300 with other card, or maybe with a buy now, pay later, which is for the people that don't know, buy now, pay later, this type of solution that can give you some sort of credit in order to buy stuff. And you can be paying like in installments, maybe within 15 days, within a month, you can be paying that amount that you used. So we give those type of solutions to the people so they can do friendly purchases, and they can be like more comfortable of the amount that they are using right now. Maybe they do have, the credit, but they do not want it to use it all because they want to make purchase another thing or use it in their travels.
How big would
So
you say are these alternative payment methods compared to the traditional credit cards? Do you have a number, a ballpark number of how, what percentage do they represent?
I do not have like exact numbers, but I would say that it's still like 70-30 or maybe 80-20%. 80 representing the credit and debit cards, and the other 20 or the other 30% representing alternative payment methods. But
That's
it's a
quite a
number that.
lot.
Yeah, it's a number that's getting bigger. And if you're talking about numbers, if you're saying that you're losing 30% of your net revenue because you're not offering, these alternative payment methods, if you put that into numbers and into millions of dollars for the airlines, it's a lot. It's a lot for them. So it's something that we are trying to solve right now in the region. And you are showing the companies that we are capable of offering all of those payment methods with one single integration.
And do you
So
say they are these alternative payments are growing? So is it because of more segments of the population are flying, for example, with low-cost carriers, or are there other factors here driving this growth?
yeah, we're talking about globalization, and we're talking about, this new generation that are coming up that are more used to use their cell phones or use technology rather than use cash. It was that, for example, I can tell you, and this is a number that I have, that 22% of Latin America is the Gen Z generation. So Gen Z is they're not used to letting to not using their phones. They're carrying their phones wherever they need. They're using their phones for buying everything, buying tickets for cinema. They are buying stuff in the retailers. They are purchasing airline tickets within their applications. They are buying a lot of stuff with their cell phone. So,
But wouldn't you still have to link that to your cell phone or Apple Pay, for example, would be linked to a traditional credit card virtually? I mean, it doesn't mean that the card is physically there.
for sure. I mean, that's why we offer this integration for their different channels. I mean, either it's a mobile channel, if it's a website channel, we offer those type of connections, and we try to link all of these digital payments within that connection. What I'm talking about, you have in the phone, you always have, the applications for your digital wallets. You have the applications or the capability of generating, for example, if you're talking about cash payments, you go to you put you click on the link that says pay with cash with OXXO, and they generate a reference code that they say, yeah, okay, here is the code that you need. Go to the store and do the payment. This is something, or this is everything that is linked into your mobile application. Let's say an airline. You have the app for the airlines. You do this reference code within the app, and you generate it, and you go to store and pay. So we try to do everything as comfortable that they wish to be. Also doing this integration that enables you your mobile application. You can also link, the digital wallet in order to do that in your application. Everything with your phone. I mean, you do not have to go to the website, or in some cases, you do not have to. You do not need a pop-up. This pop-up window that comes to you whenever you do a purchase that start bringing this mistrust with the clients. That says, hey, they're gonna steal my money. They're gonna steal my information. We try to link everything digitally, and we are doing that in order to do as efficient, as easy for the clients as possible, and also as easy for the cardholders or the guys that are trying to make the purchase.
And in order to be better able to understand the value proposition, can you tell us a bit more about the type of fees that and the costs that different companies involved in this process incur at all the different stages. So let's say I make a payment. What's typically the percentage that gets paid? Which are the different players that get a little tiny bits of that transaction? And what's your, let's say, what's your role in this chain, in this value chain? How you change the value proposition for the seller, in this case, for the airline, in terms of cost? Is there a change in the payment structure? Are you able to deliver also savings when it comes to the payment chain?
Let's first, and for the people who are hearing this, let's first divide this in order for them to not to get confused. You know, they're two different costs. The cost of the, for example, the ticket that they are buying, and the cost behind that ticket pricing, per se. So whenever I'm buying a ticket, if it's $100 for the car holder, will be that $100. It won't be like hidden charges or hidden fees for them. I mean, that's for net, not to be afraid of that. And the other has the airline cost. You know, the cost that will have to pay the airline, or the airline have to pay. Sorry. Those are, and let's separate this. As I mentioned, you know, it's the gateway fee, the fee of the transaction entering the platform. That is something that either the acquirer charges when you are connecting directly to acquirer, or either the payment gateway or the orchestrator charges, you know, to the airline in this case.
What type of percentages are we talking about here?
We're talking a fixed fee. I mean, we're talking about cents. I mean, let's say, and then give an example, 5 cents per transaction. Mm-hmm. For each transaction, they're going to charge 5 cents, for example.
Okay.
Most of the times, this cost is waived. Why is that? Because it's involved in and the way the orchestrator charges their clients is they either charge this transaction fee depending on the size of the volume, or, for example, with us, we try to do this as friendly as them or as easy for them to, in order to not to get this, like, a lot of impact in their wallets. We do a monthly fee. And this is something that a lot of orchestrators are doing right now. They say, okay, I'm going to charge you, let's give a number, a random number, 5,000 USD a month, you know, for all of the services, you know, and including, you know, the gateway services, the smart routing, in some cases, the 3DS, in some cases, you know, tokenization. If not, these transactions are covered apart. You know, the 3DS, the tokenization, maybe 1 cent per transaction. This is a really small cost for them. If you're
sorry, what is tokenization in this context?
Tokenization is when you encrypt a card number. Okay. You know, tokenization, for those who don't know about this, is whenever you're doing a purchase, of course, you're afraid of someone stealing that information. There are a lot of hackers out there trying to steal that information. So what fraud prevention companies do, or what acquirers or orchestrators do, is to encrypt that number. You turn that number to an encryption, and you store that encryption into a vault. The vault may be of the orchestrator, the vault may be of the acquirer, or in some cases with the new vaults that the car brands such as Visa, MasterCard are storing their own bins. The bins is the card number, you know, the first 4 digits of a card number. They're storing, depending on the bin, they're storing their own vaults. So they're keeping that information safe. So the information of the card number, the card holder's name, the expiration date, the CVV won't be stealed by any hacker. So whenever they are doing another person buying tickets, a lot of like recurring charges, if you, I don't know, maybe acquire a subscription for a streaming platform, let's say Netflix, they will charge you in a monthly basis. So what you do is you store that card information encrypted so it won't be stealed. And whenever you need to use this, you use this again with that encryption. So you know, and the acquirer knows the card number with that encryption, and your information will be safe. That is tokenization. And the other one that I mentioned that is really secure is the double authentication factor. So what is that? Maybe you have experienced that whenever you're doing one purchase, they say, okay, we need a code that we will be sending you either to your email, to your phone, or you have to enter to your banking application and you'll give us the token that they give you. So that is the double authentication factor. And that is used to make the transaction more secure. And that is also, in terms of regulation, for the companies, you know, as an airline, to be covered for chargeback. A chargeback is whenever you say, I do not recognize this transaction. I call my bank and I say, this is not a transaction that I did. So they, okay, give you that money back, and they start like investigating, and for that you of course you need like the banking receipt, you need a lot of things in order to defend that transaction, that chargeback. So the 3D secure for companies is used for them to be protected that actually the client or the cardholder did that transaction. Because of course, if a transaction is secured by 3DS, the chargeback will be gained by the company, and they won't have to pay this amount for the cardholder. And why is that? Because nowadays there's a lot of friendly chargeback or false positive that we call, right? Friendly chargeback is that whenever, for example, they say I'm a bad guy and I did that purchase, but I say, hey, I want my money back and I still want to receive that purchase. So I will say to my bank that I did not did that purchase. So they will believe me and they say, okay, Diego, here's your money back. And they will, of course, the airline will have to cover that cost. So it's losses for them. That is what we call friendly chargeback. So that's why we always incentive the companies to use these tools like 3DS. Of course, depend on the average ticket value. If it's a high ticket value, of course, you have to be protected. If not, you're going to have a lot of losses right out there. If it's a small ticket value, let's say $1, $2, some companies say, oh, okay, I don't want to affect like the customer experience by saying that I need some additional information for you in order to make that purchase. And let's do it frictionless. So let's only put your credit card information, do your wallet purchase and stuff, and let's not ask for any information else. Mm-hmm. So that's different type of operations. So going back to the pricing model stuff, so in some cases we charge for those services. It's a small pricing. Let's say it's also a fixed fee. Let's say 1 cent, 2 cents, of course. Maybe in some companies say, okay, yeah, but I have 1,000 transactions a month. I have 10,000 transactions a month. That will represent a higher cost. Yeah, but let's compare cost benefit, of course. Let's say, okay, yeah, for 3DS, I will say, yeah, if you implement 3DS and it's not mandatory, it's not like in the European Union that it's mandatory for them to for companies to implement 3DS. Here in Latin America, it's not. So let's say, okay, if you are comfortable by assuming the risk of your transactions being charged back, and you can lose a lot of money if you lost or if you lose that chargeback and you have to pay or to repay that amount to the cardholder, I mean, it's okay for us. I mean, you can do that if you want to, but we always like incentive to the transaction to be secure, the transaction to be frictionless. So that's why, and as I already tell you, most of the time, those type of services are already waived in the monthly fee. Mm-hmm. So that's another cost that the airline have to cover, you know? And the other that is, let's say the airline have to cover, but it's a pretty standard fee for every company that want to accept credit cards, is the acquiring fee. And within the acquiring fee, which is, it's not a fixed fee, it's a percentage, you know, it's maybe, I don't know, depending on the vertical, it can be, 150, 130, 240% of the amount of the transaction in terms of what they need to be paid.
So that would be a percentage on the amount of the transaction. So it's variable always. So if you buy a plane ticket for $1,000, you might be paying what, 1% or
1%, 150, 1.50. Mm-hmm. I don't know. As I said, depend on the vertical. You know, the central banks of each country are the one that establish those fees, because you know within the acquiring fee, it's the interchange fee. The interchange fee is the one that is set up by the central bank. And it's the acquiring fee that it's a small percentage of basis points that it's added to that interchange fee, you know? And depending on the country, I'm not going to enter into some other details, but depending on the country, there may be other fees involved in that acquiring fee. But let's say that the final acquiring fee, it's 2%. So whenever you do one purchase for $100, 2% is going to be paid to the acquirer. Or because the acquirer also pays that to the brands, pay that to the switches and stuff like that. So that is how, you know, this cost or this pricing model fits, you know, to the business right now. And of course, we do have other value-added services that we may charge. For example, we have a very interesting protocol I already mentioned, which is the APM Hub. The APM Hub, you can acquire that for a small fee. It's also a variable fee. But you can acquire that for a small fee. But the advantage for you is that you will have all of the alternative payment methods that we have available for you. All of our portfolio will be available for you. And it's not that you have to negotiate with each one of them. Or depending on your acquirer, you have to negotiate if they do have it available right now, or if I have to look for another acquirer, or if I have to look for that specific product as a part negotiation, and maybe the amount will be higher because the volume will not be great. Maybe, I don't know, because if it's only one certain country, the price will be higher for them. So that's what we're trying to do, and that's everything. I mean, I will resume SellPoint Digital or the payment orchestration job in one single word, which is efficiency. You know, whenever you put efficiency into an operation, it's going to bring you more profit, it's going to cost you less, and it, of course, it's going to give you a whole more bunch of opportunities for you to offer to your clients. And I know I already mentioned that, but that is directly connected to the percentage of abandoned carts out there. You know, whenever you are not seeing your preferred payment method, whenever you're not seeing the availability of paying with maybe not only one, but two payment methods, or when you are not seeing maybe in your local currency, you are not comfortable doing that purchase. So you leave it like that and you decide to purchase from someone else, or you decide not to purchase at all. So we, as SellPoint, we are recovering all of those transactions and we're applying it directly into numbers for you in order to get the biggest profit that you can get.
Any numbers you can share about what percentage of abandoned cards have you been able to recover through implementing these orchestration processes?
It's not like an exact number because it's vary a lot depending on the client. Let's say there are airlines that have a better payment strategies than others or like a more updated ones. But I'm going to say that maybe from 15 to maybe 30, 35, 40% of recovered transactions out there. There are companies that definitely need to improve their payment strategies or to improve their payment operations. And maybe there are some others that they already have and they have like pre-established purchases, processes and stuff like that and may help them, of course. But we as SellPoint, something that we have seen is that we can always improve those numbers for them. If they have a 90% of approval rate and 90% of conversion rate, we can always turn that 90 into 95, into a 92, 93. If they have maybe 60, 70%, of course, we can improve that into 90%. So there's a huge window for us to cover out there.
Oh, pretty impressive. So people that or companies that might be interested in learning more about these processes, what sort of resources or links or websites, maybe even social media accounts, would you recommend them to check to learn more about what you guys do, but more generally as well about how orchestration works and how the payment chain works as well?
For sure. I mean, we're always trying to offer, as we're a specialized company, we're always contacting our clients directly, but they can always look for our direct website, SellPointDigital.com, or maybe also they can check our LinkedIn. We have a lot of brochures, a lot of information that they can check out there, SellPoint Digital on LinkedIn. Or if they want, I mean, they can always contact me, Diego Perez. I'm on LinkedIn, that's Jose Diego Perez Espinosa, or maybe contact me directly into my email, diego.perez@sellpointmobile.com.
I'm going to add some links as well to the show notes so that people can find it easily. I think you also have some industry reports, as I was mentioning earlier, when I was trying to learn more about this field of payments in the airline industry, which is obviously an essential function. But I guess many people that follow the industry are not, and I include myself there, are not that aware of everything that goes on behind the scenes. And I hope this podcast episode will contribute to making it better known and for people to understand a bit better how this works and where the technology is going in this space. So thank you very much, Diego, for your time today, helping us understand this area better.
Well, likewise, thank you for your time. And we're always glad to help. I mean, we have the experience out there. There are companies like Southwest, which is the third biggest airlines in worldwide that is working with us. We have Emirates. In the region, we have Aerojet, we have Avianca, Voipass, Gol Airlines. So we have a lot of experience out there, and we are always happy to help new clients.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Miguel. Thank you for your time.
If you like this podcast, you can support us by giving it a great rating on Apple, Spotify, or whichever platform you get it from. And remember, you can, of course, subscribe to it. And you can also get regular updates through the Allplane website. That's allplane.tv. We have a newsletter where we cover the aviation industry every week with a special focus on innovation and sustainability. So give it a go. Thank you and goodbye.